Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World. With Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were talking about Hebrews chapter 3 and the way that the author uses Psalm 95, that today, if you hear your voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. So that we go back and we look at Psalm 95, which is the psalm we use in the order of service of Matins, so that in the liturgical life of the church, we proclaim how God is our rock, that He's the God of God and the King of kings, and we are the sheep of His hand, and that we should not refuse to listen to His voice. Because the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd, who laid down His life for the sheep. He leads them, He guides them, He rescues them, He seeks them out, and He speaks to them. So we continue today as we emphasize the need to continue to listen to the voice of God. See, unless God is the teacher, we will be left blind and deaf and in the darkness. But God Himself is our shepherd, the one who guides us. He is our teacher, the one who teaches us. The Holy Spirit is the revealer, the one who sanctifies us. And He continues to teach us, making us disciples. That is, students who listen to the voice of God. So in today's lecture, we're going to look at the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the prophets and apostles. We'll specifically look at Romans chapter 10, where Paul, an apostle, talks about this. We'll look at Amos real quickly, as you have a prophet talking about this. And we'll jump back to the New Testament, looking at 1 Peter, where 1 Peter, in this epistle, the apostle Peter himself ties a connection between the work of the Holy Spirit in the prophets and in the apostles. We'll look at Acts chapter 4, and then we'll spend a big chunk of time looking at the book of Daniel, in which the Holy Spirit reveals mysteries, reveals what will happen to bring the kingdom. We'll also look at Psalm 119 and begin to understand this need for the teacher, God Himself, who teaches us the knowledge of salvation as He reveals it to us in the written word of the prophets and the apostles. All right, so let's begin by looking at Romans chapter 10. The apostle writes and he says in verse 14, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Now that's Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Now in this passage, the Apostle Paul is quoting again from Isaiah. And as we discussed in previous lectures, this understanding of a rule of splice, that he's splicing together these two passages from Isaiah about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, which is in chapter 52, and he splices it together with chapter 53 that says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? It is the same Holy Spirit who is working through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah to reveal this good news of salvation, of the coming seed of David and the coming kingdom. It's the same Holy Spirit who was grieved by those who heard in the days of Isaiah, that is also revealing through the mouth of the Apostle Paul the good news, and there are those who are grieving the Holy Spirit in his day. So that we understand that the Lord sends out his prophets to reveal these mysteries to us, that we would know what we could not know in the natural realm, that the Holy Spirit reveals divine realities to us. The same Holy Spirit who works through the prophets works through the apostles. In the prophet Amos, in his book chapter 3, we learn this in verse 7. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now he reveals this mystery to his prophets so that his prophets can proclaim this message. So that the prophets can reveal to the people the coming judgment because of their sin and the coming redemption because of their Savior. So the prophet Amos was sent out to reveal the destruction upon the false temples in the northern kingdom because the people were now worshiping in the style of their contemporaries. They were refusing to listen to the instituted means of grace and the promise that God had placed upon those means to be present for the benefit of his people. And so because they stopped their ears, God would stop them in their tracks. The prophet was also sent to reveal the redemption. Seek the Lord and live. So that these realities would not be known to the natural mind. Yet the Lord comes to reveal them, giving them wisdom, knowing that there is a coming judgment, yet there is a coming and a refuge in whom we are to trust. So the Lord sends out these prophets before the coming Christ, and he sends out the apostles after the ascended Christ as we wait for the second coming. So First Peter, in Peter's first epistle, he makes this connection between the same Holy Spirit working through these instrumental means. And so 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, we read this. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. Now here in this passage, we learn that the Holy Spirit speaks through the mouth of the prophets of old with this primary message, the message of the sufferings of the Christ, the message of the cross, which is the same message that the apostles were sent out to proclaim. It's the same Spirit who is in the mouths of the prophets and the apostles, calling and gathering, enlightening, and bringing us into this kingdom. And so Peter will go on in the next verse and say this, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The apostle is declaring that the Holy Spirit is at work in this message of the cross proclaimed by the prophets before the suffering of Christ, by the apostles after the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories, and this same message that is now proclaimed in our day by the successors of the apostles in this preaching office that God himself has instituted to proclaim this good news and to administer the sacraments, that disciples of all nations would be made by teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But again, how would we know these divine realities unless it was revealed to us? So that you see in the book of Acts, the apostles are sent out to reveal that this crucified Jesus of Nazareth is in fact the same suffering Christ that the prophets of old had predicted. But how would the people in those days know unless it was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit? So in Acts chapter 4, we see the apostles proclaiming, we see the leaders of the people of God being annoyed at this teaching. We see miracles done to testify as signs of the coming kingdom, the restoration of creation. And in Acts chapter 4, we see the apostles being put on trial, namely Peter being questioned for what he's teaching and what he's doing. And so we pick up in Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, and we hear this. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That's Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. See, how would the people in the days of the apostles know this reality unless it was revealed to them? And so the same Holy Spirit that revealed to the prophet Isaiah the things to come in his day is the same Holy Spirit who fills Peter when he speaks to reveal and to teach the people these wonderful realities of salvation alone in the name of Jesus. And how would the ends of the earth know unless the apostles were sent out to all nations to proclaim this good news? That the rock rejected by the builders is the living stone, the cornerstone, the one upon which the kingdom is being built. But again, how would we know these realities unless they were revealed to us? Now, when we look back in the Old Testament, we see an interesting litany of events taking place in the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel is in the midst of the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian kingdom has already come and destroyed the kingdom of David in Jerusalem, and it would appear that all the promises of God have fallen by the wayside. But yet the Lord continues to send his prophets to reveal the reality that the promise made to Abraham and to David would be fulfilled. The promise made to Eve that there was a seed, the seed of the woman that would crush the serpent's head, would continue to be a reality. That God is faithful to his promises. So in the midst of this Babylonian captivity, where it seems like the kingdom of God has disappeared off the face of the earth, and the coming kingdom is no longer something to anticipate, but rather we ought to get to the program and just live in this world, in the Babylonian kingdom. But during this time, the Lord himself reveals to King Nebuchadnezzar the things to come. That through all of these earthly kingdoms, the Lord is working behind the scenes to bring his kingdom. But how would people like Nebuchadnezzar or Cyrus, how would people like this Cyrus the Persian know that God is behind this to bring about the kingdom of the Babylonians, to bring about the kingdom of the Persians, the kingdom of the Greeks, the kingdom of the Romans, and then finally, God's kingdom? How would you know this unless it was revealed? Well, in Daniel chapter 2, it is revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar. But yet still, he has natural knowledge, and he is not able to understand these heavenly realities. He doesn't have eyes to see or ears to hear. He doesn't have the wisdom that comes from God. So God puts a man named Daniel in the midst of this entire time period, in the midst of this whole captivity, to reveal these truths to the king of the Babylonians. And so we have Nebuchadnezzar asking all of his wise men, but the wisdom of the world cannot discern what's going to take place with the coming kingdom of God. And so Daniel is brought forth to the king. And through the Holy Spirit, Daniel is able to reveal the mystery. So we look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 27 through 30 in particular. It reads like this. Daniel answered the king and said, "No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind." That's Daniel chapter 2, verses 27 through 30. Again, a lot of wonderful information is given to us in this small passage, that you have God revealing to a pagan king what would come about in the coming kingdom of God. You have God who is the revealer of mysteries. Mysteries are that which God knows, but then he chooses to reveal, to share with us, so that we would see his plans and his will for us. His will that his kingdom would come, and that we would learn to pray that his will would be done in our own lives. But he uses the instrumental means of his prophets. God is the one who sends prophets. He sends the prophets with this purpose: to reveal the knowledge of salvation, to expose sin so that we can cling to our Savior. And so here God uses this instrumental means of this prophetic office to reveal to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be. But even Daniel himself says, there's nothing special about me. It's not that I have more human knowledge, more earthly wisdom than any of the other wise men. Instead, I have this because it has been revealed to me. Now, in the same way, as the people of God, as the baptized, we have been called and gathered and enlightened by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us this wonderful mystery in Christ, that God and sinner have been reconciled. And then we take this wonderful revelation and we rejoice in it, and we continue to listen to the Holy Spirit as he continues to enlighten us in it, that we would learn to believe it to be true. And then we would take this mystery that we know, and we would reveal it to those who sit in darkness. So here's Daniel in this prophetic office, in this time, given this opportunity to speak the very word of God revealed through his mouth. And so look at this. Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 35, we pick up again. We continue, and it says this. Daniel says, "You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And as you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand. And it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold, and all together were broken in pieces, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So this is Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 35, where Daniel now is revealing to a king, an earthly king, in his empire, that the kingdom of God is coming. And he will actually use throughout history these events that take place with the empire of the Babylonians, the Persians, and the Greeks, and finally the Romans. So that when the Roman Empire is coming to an end and falling apart, you see out of this empire the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that comes about by the stone that struck the image and destroys all the other kingdoms of the earth, and this stone becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. So that as Jesus is crucified and rejected, he becomes the cornerstone and sends out the apostles throughout the earth, so that his kingdom would spread throughout the whole earth, encompassing both Jews and Gentiles into one body of Christ. A mystery that God reveals through Daniel and will continue to reveal through the mouth of the apostles. Now, if we continue looking at Daniel chapter 2, we pick up at verse 44 and we read this. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 45. So that here God reveals to us through the mouth of his prophet Daniel the coming kingdom, the kingdom of God, that a stone that is not of human hand, this is a divine stone, will bring the heavenly kingdom. And the prophet Daniel is going to make it clear that this interpretation is certain and sure, because it is the Holy Spirit who is speaking through his mouth to reveal this divine reality. It's not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God that reveals this truth. Now, later on in the book of Daniel, if you go to chapter 4, this is a place where you have Nebuchadnezzar kind of recounting how this had taken place in the previous chapter 2 in the years in the past, time in the past, I should say. And so in chapter 4, we read this, starting at verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I laid in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. And the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came in before me. He who was named Belshazzar after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. I told him the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these: I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its weight was great. So here we have Daniel coming and revealing to Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 the interpretation of another dream, another vision. Now Nebuchadnezzar is recalling how Daniel was able to reveal back in chapter 2 this vision, and now in this new vision, he knows that Daniel can reveal this divine wisdom to him also in his second dream. And so that it is the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, as we translate here, we say, the translator in the ESV says the spirit of the holy gods in the plural. Now, technically, that should be the Holy Spirit of God. The Hebrew word, of course, is Elohim for God, which is a plural noun. And in the Aramaic, it is also a plural noun, which is Elohim, rather than Elohim. But in both places, this is a plural noun for God. It is the Spirit of God. So if Nebuchadnezzar is even thinking as a pagan, and he's talking about a plurality of gods, well, fair enough for him, but yet we know that God is one and there's a plurality of persons. So that when we look in the Old Testament and we see this this Hebrew word for God, Elohim, is plural, it teaches to us the plurality of persons of the Godhead, that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, nevertheless, whether or not Nebuchadnezzar gets the Trinity isn't the issue. The issue is that God is God and there is no other. There is only one Holy Spirit and there is no other. All other spirits are false spirits, unclean spirits, demonic spirits. They are not the Holy Spirit in the singular. So in this passage, we learn that this is the Holy Spirit. In fact, this is very similar to what Pharaoh said to Joseph back in Genesis chapter 41, when Joseph, by the Holy Spirit, was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh said, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Now again, it's the same understanding of a plural noun for God, Elohim. And so, granted, a pagan may think a plurality of gods, but those who are the people of the one true God, the Holy Blessed Trinity, we know that the Hebrew noun Elohim in the plural, or the Aramaic noun Elohim in the plural, teaches to us a distinction of the persons of the Holy Trinity, the plurality persons. So Pharaoh says that Joseph has the Spirit of God. Nebuchadnezzar says Daniel has the Spirit of God. Now we know through the context of the totality of scriptures that it is the Holy Spirit who speaks through the prophets. Prophets like Joseph, prophets like Daniel, prophets like Isaiah, prophets like Amos, and the apostles like Peter and Paul. Through their written word, the Holy Spirit continues to reveal and to teach us. So the Holy Spirit gives us this wonderful gift of Psalm 119, in which we learn to cry out to God that He would be the one who's our teacher, our revealer, our guide, the one who opens our eyes so that we can see and our ears to hear. In Psalm 119, for example, at verses 18 and 19, we read this: "Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things of your Torah. I am a sojourner on earth. Hide not your commandments from me."
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.